Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Zardoz speaks to you.
We were having a discussion before the show about the movie Zardoz, which if you haven't seen, and you have any passing interest in Sean Connery's what he looks like.
If you want to see Sean Connery's super butch with double bandoliers, a red diaper, and thigh-high leather boots.
It's not even a diaper. It's like a thong. It's like a thong with the strap. It's like a thong with suspenders. That's exactly what the fucking thing is.
Why do you think they were angry and shooting people the whole movie? Because it
they
chafed.
The
best part of the movie is the guy that's got the sharpied on beard. He's got like a goatee with the...
Yeah, that was terrible. Mm. All right. Also joining us is your co-host, Hunter.
What's up?
And we have a guest this week to talk about his game, Close Order. Joining us, wait, where are you calling Skyping from, Nicholas?
I am in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Oh, joining us from Louisiana.
Is that right? Just one time. One time. I want somebody to be like, I'm in Derek Smart's bathroom. Shh, don't tell. He doesn't know I'm here.
He will soon if you keep talking.
Home invasion.
Joining us from Lafayette, Louisiana, the founder and chief storyteller of Raconteur Games, Nicholas Laborde.
That is me. I am ecstatic to be here, Brian. And as I was saying,
as well
the show,
you should, because
I truly there is no greater honor than having Close Order on the Space Game Junkie podcast.
With great space games comes great responsibility.
Welcome to the chat, AC Wraith. How you doing? So folks, if you're just joining us, because that'd be funny because we just started, Close Order is a shooty thing, but there's an interesting element to it in that you're building a fleet little by little. So here's the thing. You hold down like the right mouse button and you can pick from, what is it, six ships. They're ship-like things and they do different things. Like you have your fire large, like, shotgun shell or heal ships or three small shots in random directions or just a little minion.
I like the big mortar guys myself because it's almost like playing a bullet hell game except that you are also generating some bullet hell. So I like that. That's a good aspect.
Yeah, I do dig that. And so basically what you do is you collect minerals. I mean, you collect three things. Now, what are these three things? There's red, green, and blue. That's all I know. What are these three things?
They are just simply known as parts, and you spin those parts to build other ships known as minions, as you guys just talked about.
And they look like little yellow Twinkies, which is great.
Basically.
I honestly love how you give the minions, since that's what they are, you give the minions names. Like right now, my minions are Stathis, Kirsty, Loretta, Roland, and AK or Ah or something.
Does Kirsty get fat and then skinny and then fat?
Oh no.
I'm sorry.
That's actually a feature we added in recently because we got a lot of feedback, surprisingly enough, once we went live on Greenlight recently. A lot of people wanted a deeper connection between your minions, which you would think is kind of counterintuitive in a bullet hell game, right? Like, it's about blowing things up and moving really fast. Like, you're not focusing on any one thing for too long, but people are like, I want more of a connection. So we were just kind of scratching our heads like, okay, so let's try throwing names on top of them randomly generated and see what people think. And people really liked it.
Yeah, I like this. Right now I've got Joni and Linda with a Y, Karina. And so basically right now, this is a very early alpha. And so right now, basically you're just going wave after wave of enemies. And you collect parts as you kill them. And then... I don't want to fly into the black hole. And then you try to avoid getting sucked into the black hole while collecting parts so you can rebuild your fleet, because they're going to die as you shoot stuff. They are definitely going to die.
Now, is there always a black hole, or this is just a particular level?
this is just a particular level. We actually have, you know, a story mode in close order, which we're just about to show off because we're putting some finishing touches on it.
Nice. And, I was about to ask about that.
And we also have the survival mode. We chose to show off survival mode for the press and streamers and great people like the Space Game Junkie podcast because it's a little easier to digest. At first glance than like saying, oh, well, this is our very thoughtful and thought-provoking story. Like, let's just get to the bullet hole first, and then we'll explain the story later. That was our philosophy with Close Order, because it makes a lot of sense when you see it in action. So survival mode, there's going to be two versions of it. This is what we call simple survival. It's basically there's some sort of event going on in the environment, and you just start with minimal resources. You build up. You last as long as you can against in waves of increasingly difficult enemies. And then we're going to have I think we're calling it custom chaos right now. So that was simple survival. This is custom chaos. You'll be able to adjust how many enemies are in the area, how difficult the enemies are going to be, and like how many waves of them you want to face.
It looks like I just ran into a limit. So how big can your fleet be? Because right now it looks like I've got about 20-some ships.
I think the limit right now is 40. That is still work in progress, and that is not final. But it's 32 or 40 right now. It's one of those. You can get a lot of ships, and while that – some people think that's not enough, and some people think it's way too much, so it's an interesting balance to strike. Basically, if you get a lot of ships, you are going to cause a lot of damage. So, getting a full armada is a very beautiful thing.
So you get a swarm of these dudes around you, right? Can you perhaps control a formation that they're in, or they just glom to you on all sides evenly?
So are you saying, like, would they be subdivided into individual formations?
Well, I'm saying, like, can I put them in a wedge?
Like, can you
could
change
them
to
box?
A V and a, yeah.
Yes, actually, we're still working on it. It's actually in there. If you open up the formation editor with F, which allows you to move your ships around, you can use A and D to cycle through different formation shapes.
Oh, yes, you can. Look at that.
Right now we have, like, a box, a sort of like a U, and then like a regular diamond formation. We're going to have other ideas in there too, like a pincer formation, more like the standard Greek phalanx, stuff like that. And one other thing that's really exciting is when you have like a lot of grid space, for example, like on the diamond shape, one of our new features is you can bind custom formations to numero keys and just immediately buy them. So if you lose all your minions and you bound them to four, you press four, you have enough money, you can buy them all again.
Oh, nice.
And you're not it took me a little while to realize, because I was just buying, like, all of one type every time. But you can mix and match as well, so.
Totally.
Yes.
You probably should.
Right now, if you just want to win, buy a bunch of arbalists. That's my strategy.
Oh, really? Okay, let's see which one is that is.
Arbalist is kind of like, it was inspired just, like, to be your standard, like, shoot 'em up, shmup kind of ship. And it's just standard, shoots two shots forward, really good. Stack a bunch of them, and you are good to go.
Oh, I see what you mean. Holy Christ.
And the great thing about the minions we have here, these aren't all the minions in the game. These are just a small snapshot.
Oh, nice.
You have so many ideas that you can do. So the idea is, you know, Close Order, it plays like a shooter. It acts like Bullet Hill. It has strategy elements. And then you build your armada however you want. Oh. And the different ideas of the minions are that they give you so many different ways to approach. So you could stand back and buy 40 arbalists and just, like, shoot in giant, like, volleys of shots from afar. Volleys, not follies. I'm tired. Volleys of shots from afar. Or you could get a bunch of scalprums, which are like these giant spiky balls of death, and just plow into enemies and destroy everything just by shoving your face into them. That last statement could have been sexual in so many ways possible, but I'm just going to keep it space-centered for now.
It's a kid's it's a family show. Here right, right. Space.
Well, no, because I was kind of thinking about that myself, really. Actually, because, you know, you guys were talking about, like, trying to last as long as you can while being attacked, and I was thinking, well, that kind of sounds like my bedroom experience, just being mass assaulted by hordes and
tits.
Yes. I've met your wife. God space damn it. Tits.
You know, a type of minion you could sneak in there would actually be boobs. Like, if you could just get, like, a cloud of boobs orbiting your ship.
Like an Easter egg?
Yeah, but if you ran into the enemy, they would just softly bounce off.
If you're going to do that, you might as well just have sperm as well.
No, that game's already on Steam. Sperminator.
We should just make minion, man.
Man, so it's funny. I lost all my minions in the black hole. I didn't even realize that could happen.
Yes, that's a new feature we just got in. If you get too close, they can be sucked into the black hole.
Yeah, that's
That's it's very depressing, actually.
It was very depressing. It was actually insanely depressing. I was like, wait, where'd all my friends go? So sad.
Does your main ship not take any damage?
That's a great question, because since the original prototype, we couldn't take damage. Now, you know, this was just a development end type thing. We just never enabled it. But as we progressed through development, we found that it just made a lot of sense to not take any damage. So as of right now, the player ship is invincible, because it seems a little weird out of context, but when you play, you can see that on its own, the player ship can only really be formidable if you're against really weak enemies. So if you lose all your formation, then you've essentially lost in a sense. You have to build your formation back up. Ooh. So that is the way that we are basically handling player death, is more or less we just want to humiliate you.
Oh, that's kind of... I don't know if you could see on the stream, but apparently I won, and now it's having a freak out. That's what
happened. Yeah, we still got a lot of bugs. This was our most recent build. Not 100% stable, so you're probably seeing a lot of fun stuff.
Oh, this is kind of hilarious. I'm going to have to quit for a second. Now, interesting. Apparently, there's an option if you hit escape. Return to the overworld. Explain to us what that is, please.
Ah, yes. So, like I was saying, this was survival mode. So this was just a one small piece. Survival mode is supposed to be where you go either – this is what I call the you picked it up for a dollar on Steam sale 5 years into the future mode, and you want to figure out what it is in 5 minutes or less. That's survival mode. Or if you want to boot it up and just have fun and, you know, replayability really quickly. The overworld is our interconnected hub world system. So I guess that leads me – that's a good segue into Close Order's story. The story is based off of 60s era sci-fi, and basically it's split up into hub worlds. So there will be – the overworld is like the master hub world, and there will be like giant like galaxies or planet systems or things like that that you can fly towards. Ooh. And when you get close to it, it'll zoom in, and like a bunch of little like moons or planets will come out, and those are all the levels within that hub world. Each hub world has its own distinct theme and loosely connected storyline. Now – these hubs are like episodes of a TV show. The hub is like a season, and each episode is like an each mission is like an episode, excuse me. They all have little tiny connections to each other, but you don't have to play them in order to get the full story. There's just one general vibe that the hub goes for itself. All the missions go with that theme, and you can play it in whatever order you want. And just tackle it however you want. So we have the story, and it's free to be tackled however you want, in the order you want. And if you want a good story while also playing some gameplay and getting some cool new minions, you can have that. Or if you just want to go build up an armada for 5 minutes because you bought it for a dollar on Steam sale, you can go play survival mode.
Oh, neat. Now, will this story mode be scripted, or will there be any kind of procedural generation along with it?
At this point in time, it's mainly more scripted events. We're not at a point where we could do a lot of procedural stuff. That is something we'd like to explore in the future, maybe for survival mode levels. But right now, it's a more or less very scripted, objective-based things, because we do have a very specific story that we're trying to tell in our single-player missions.
Right, that's fair. All right, let's make this huge fleet. That's cool. So, and then once people are done – now when people are – darn it, excuse me. So when people are done with is there going to be any kind of leaderboard or anything? So when people are done with the story, they can maybe go back and improve their score? Or is there going to be like maybe a new game mode, you know, plus or something? Like, will there be a reason to go back to the story mode once you've finished it?
That is an excellent question, because that leads me into another good discussion. You know, we talked about the hub world system. Well, that gives us the opportunity to make multiple hub worlds with different themes. So there's lots of opportunity to have different versions of the campaign, so different stories being told. We haven't actually thought about a leaderboard until now, but that makes a lot of sense. Our team hasn't specifically worked with networking things before, so that'll be fun to try. But I'm definitely going to write that down, Brian. That was an excellent suggestion. You know, truly coming on the Space Game Junkie podcast has changed our lives and our game for the better.
Stop it!
And additional hub worlds will be available for $29.95 DLC.
$29.95, but if you suck up to Brian, it's $19.95.
Oh, well, okay.
But if you order now, we'll send you two hub worlds for the price of one. But wait, there's more. God, I miss Billy Mays.
There's always more. But no, to answer your question, I can't tell you because it's sort of a secret, kind of is, not really. If you beat all the levels in each hub world, there are rewards. And as you play through the levels in each hub world, you unlock more minions. And the idea is that each hub world is going to have its own distinct set of minions. Oh. So the six or seven that you see right now are hub world one minions. And through the levels that you complete in hub world one, you get more minions. We don't have a minion reward for each level. I think we have around 4 or 5 more. So you can have like up to 12 total minions if you beat all of hub world one. But if you move on over to the next hub world, you'll keep the 5 or so that you unlocked in addition to all the new set that you get specifically within the context of that hub world. So it rewards you if you beat all the levels, you can take those new minions into survival and stuff like that as well.
Oh, nice. So there is a reason to go back and play different hubs.
Absolutely, you get rewarded for beating all the levels, and then you get way more options, and you will hopefully stand a better chance at our very difficult survival levels.
Now, I know this is Unity, so I ask this a lot, and when it's Unity, people say they really can't, but will there be any kind of content generation tools with this, maybe, like a level editor or anything like that? Is that in the cards at all?
That is definitely something we do want to explore. I'm not 100% certain if we'll be able to pull that off in Unity, but I definitely do want to look into the future at some sort of option to open it up to the community to generate their own content, because I'm a big fan of mods. I've always been a big PC gamer, and it's just great to see, you know, how PC games evolve. Like, I mean, the best example is anything with the Elder Scrolls. You look at it on launch day, then you come back 3 years later, and you can't even recognize
what the hell is this?
What's going on anymore? And I would really love to have that opportunity with our community that we're building with Close Order, because, you know, I can just imagine how many game-breaking ways people would make, like, survival levels or even maybe custom minions or things like that. Right now, we just got to focus on getting the game out before we can get to that, but I really, really would love to be able to do something like that. I'm just got to look into Unity's limitations.
Okay. It is Unity. 5. Okay. Because Unity in particular, right, because it encrypts everything in the prefab files. So is Unity just, like, completely a pain in the ass to enable mods for?
You know, that's a really, really good question, because I haven't specifically looked into the ins and outs of mods in a Unity game before. But now that I think about it, I don't, off the top of my personal experience, know many Unity games with mods. So that'll be something interesting to explore. But you do pose a good point. Unity does encrypt the files with their own prefab system and things like that. But the one good thing about Unity is if you're a programmer, you can do lots of things. Mm. The only problem with Unity is it's a horrible level design tool.
Oh, really?
Unreal Engine is the best level design tool, but it's the worst programming tool. And then Unity is the best programming tool, but it's the worst level design tool. So so you either get to make your mechanics or in Unity, or you get to make an FPS in Unreal Engine. So there's your options. We our first project actually started on Unreal Engine before we switched to Close Order, and we had to switch to Unity just because it wasn't flexible enough, Unreal Engine. Like, at least with Unreal Engine 3, they forced you to use their own scripting language. It was similar to C++, but it wasn't C++. It was called Unreal Script, and it didn't make a lot of sense. I think they got rid of that in Unreal 4, though. But I think it's all like visual scripting now, which is interesting because they don't give you access to the source code unless you're a licensed developer. Would love to see if mods and stuff like that would be possible. Unity can be a pain sometimes, but game development in general is a pain most of the time. So
yeah. What was that game that we had that was the dual stick shooter that they were on just like a month ago? You guys were I cannot think of the name of it. But anyway, that was in Unreal Engine. And it was
the multiplayer one.
Yeah.
That's what I was gonna ask though. We talked about doing leaderboards and stuff. Have you guys looked at doing like arena multiplayer stuff?
Another excellent question, my good friend. We are experimenting right now with a sort of multiplayer mode. It's super early. I can't promise anything yet. But we are looking at trying our own take on multiplayer. Ooh. And so, you know, just again, I can't really talk too much about it because I don't want to, you know, commit to something that's not going to come out.
You're right here live, guys. Multiplayer confirmed.
Well, we're releasing, you know, tomorrow, all games, you know, Close Order 1, 2, and 3 trilogy. Each game has all the games tomorrow. You heard it here first.
You could play as Batman and transform into a giant robot or a refrigerator.
Mega Man.
You figured out you stole our mechanic for Close Order 2, so, you know, you could spread out in Close Order 1 and Close Order 2. You're going to spread up with the minions. You're going to have multiple levels of formations. Come on, man. You figured out our idea.
But you have to talk about the DLC, or it's not.
See, day one DLC.
We're just coming out of... Yeah, and then it has to be a remake of something, right? Because we're just coming out of E3, and everything's a remake. So...
Well, the funny part is when I was posting on Reddit about our game, some angry person told me that they basically, because I compared it to Galaga, because, I mean, people naturally want to draw comparisons to understand things easier and quicker.
Oh, come on. There are no angry shitlords on Reddit.
Those are everywhere, sir. And someone was pretty mad, and they're like, well, if you like Galaga so much, you should just go remake Galaga because they'd opened up the license to people. And I was like,
okay. But Zotrix is already there, so, you know. Have you seen that game, by the way? We had him on. It was...
I have not.
It's like, what if Galaga had a story? That kind of thing.
Galaga did have a story.
So
I mean,
so,
if it had a story that on, you didn't have on. To read about so, elsewhere.
So there's there's aliens? And you kill them?
Yes. That would... Yeah. It's somewhere between, like, Galaga and Privateer.
That sounds almost as good as Zardoz.
Yes. It speaks to me.
But no, I had never heard of that game before. I'm going to have to look it up. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah, he the great wisdom that he dropped on us is, and I completely agree with him, is, like, the mainstream press is no longer where it's at to get your game through green light and to develop your community and stuff. The way to do it is to go inside of Steam into the various communities that exist there, because they are far bigger than I had ever realized. And then after he said I went and looked, and it was like, oh my God. Yeah. I completely was leaving all the money on the table. I had no idea.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I don't think I was misguided, but I think I had a false perception that the press would give a damn.
No,
that's the best way I can put it,
sir. Well, we are the press, and we do not give a damn.
The Space Game Junkie Podcast, everyone.
It's about ethics in space.
We don't give a damn.
In space, no one can hear your ethics.
Yes.
You know.
Okay, that wins.
As Carl Sagan said, we are all star farts. So,
but I do agree, and I empathize with that statement about the press just not caring. Like, guys, I'm gonna be 100% candid with you. After a couple days into Greenlight, where like the initial momentum rolled off because you're not on the front page of new submissions anymore.
Oh my God, it's like ski jump, isn't it? It's just
straight
to the bottom.
Complete straight to the bottom. Like you're going from I got about close to 1,500, 1,600 unique views and like around 700 votes in the first like 2 days.
And like
that was great. And then you get like five a day. Dude, no, you get all these crazy graphs to compare you against other people. You look at some of these games that get like no votes for like 2 weeks at a time and makes you want to pull your hair out. Like,
well, you start thinking, I what kind of scandal can I get myself involved in that will draw people to my green
light? Well, no, and honestly, that's really the best situation you could put yourself in, because the press don't care. They want something sensational. And
I know,
look,
it's like you want to call an anonymous tip in on yourself. Like, there's a dead hooker in his trunk. You know, like call up PC Gamer. It's like, I know he's got it. So
what's really inside of those ships in that Armada? and you know, I spent, you know, I did everything. I tried every single tactic that I was recommended. Oh, you just got to try to get like one streamer on your side. I can't tell you how many streamers I emailed. Oh, you just got to email journalists with a personal message based on games that they've liked that were similar
to yours.
No,
not a message.
I've so many.
You need to email. Check. And then,
unfortunately, I don't know if that would have even gotten their attention. I remember, man, I was so bummed out. I can't remember what website. I found a guy who literally wrote an article called The Joy of Bullet Hell. And I was like, this is it. This is going to be the one.
That's my guy.
This is going to be the guy. This is my guy. Never got any response. Oh, and Close Order, as you have all seen, is like one of the most interesting bullet hell games, I would argue, that is currently in existence. And
you need to
know
with like the Sunday monster truck, you know, you need to get that guy, because Did you see the trailer for it was Robot Disco Dodgeball? Because they actually
Oh my god,
that was the
yes.
best game trailer. It sold me the game. I was just like, I must.
Oh really?
Yes.
You have that one?
Yes. It's Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball.
No, yeah, I know of it.
Yes. And it's like, it's fun. It's a pick it up for 5 minutes and play it game, you know. But you unlock mustaches for your robots. It's great. But the deal that they had was they had the radio guy with the whole like monster truck mania thing going on.
Monster.
No, that sounded like the Monster Mash. Don't ever do that again. That's Boris
I was
Karloff.
I was gifted that game during the Steam set during the recent Steam sale. We should totally play that sometime.
Oh yeah.
I think the game that we were talking about earlier that we couldn't remember the name, we had him on the show, is Quasar.
Yes,
thank
Quasar.
You. Thank you very much, Hunter. Thank you for looking that up.
I had a refrigerator made by them back in the 70s.
I was totally drawing a blank, so thank you very much. Because my brain isn't working today.
That's okay. Neither is mine, Brian.
But this is I gotta say, I kind of love this fleet mechanic. One reason I kind of love it is because I'm reading a book series now called The Lost Fleet, and it's like, oh, my little ships.
You're still reading that? You are like the slowest reader.
No. Okay, sorry. He just released a new book like a month or two ago, so I'm rereading it from the beginning.
Oh, okay.
So I just started the sixth book. Guys, seriously, amazing series if you haven't read it.
It's basically Game of Thrones in space, but nobody gets.
Wait, it's not already in space?
With some of the finest space combat you will read in a book. Seriously.
Yes. Yeah, I honestly, that is the reason to read the book.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's
yeah.
some the revelations. When he talks about space combat and you think about it, it's like, oh yeah, wow. You know, because it's like as you approach light speed, your best sensor is light. Right, because you're going to see it before any other kind of wave gets to you. So you're yep. targeting with light. Well, as you approach yep. light speed, it distorts that. So how yep. do you actually aim at a target? Yep. And if your ships are like thousands of miles apart, it takes seconds, maybe minutes, to get a radio call to your wingman.
Yep.
Right. So yeah, it's all that stuff. I love it.
It's amazing. So that's another reason I think this is. I'm like, oh, I'm reminded of like, oh, it's a little fleet. It's my own little fleet.
Oh, and the best part about everything that what you just said is Close Order doesn't make any sense at all.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't.
I mean, look, ships come out of like the middle of your ship. You make other ships that they have names. Also, where
but your ship does not have names,
but your ship doesn't have a name.
Hey,
your
I've got to go.
Can't die. It just doesn't make any sense. And I
kind of love the mayhem of it.
Somebody in the chat wants to know what the name of that book was.
Oh, it's called Lost Fleet. Well, the series is called Lost Fleet. The first book is Dauntless. And, yeah, definitely worth a read. We had the author on the podcast, what, about a year or so ago?
Yeah, John Hamry.
And he was fabulous. So, yeah, definitely worth a read right there, my friends. But I was just like, oh, I have my own little fleet, and I can actually set up formations. It just makes me happy.
And there's just so many options. You could go from afar with Arbalest. You can charge right in with Scalprums. You could do the Molotovs and shoot the grenades. You could just stay back and heal yourself with medics. I mean, there's just so many opportunities.
Now, what do the Scalprums do? They let you ram shit? Is that what they
Yeah, that's exactly what they do.
Oh, they're like big, like mine-looking things, and you just ram.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
They're ridiculously overpowered right
Oh,
now.
Yeah, they really are, because I just ran through everybody.
Nothing is balanced right now.
Well, you know, it's alpha people. It's an alpha. It says right there in the top right corner, alpha.
And honestly, one of the best things we did was all the – because we were talking about green light and, you know, how the system may not work the way you expect it to is all the preparation work that I was advised by other people who have been greenlit to do worked out well. And a lot of things is – right now I actually just loaded up the stream and I don't quite understand what I'm seeing because what you may not know – is those beautiful little engine effects on the player ship have caused us so many headaches and bashing our head against the keyboard. There's this weird issue in Unity where they don't line up in the EXE correctly. But for whatever reason, when you're playing it right now, Brian, they do line up, and I don't understand why.
Okay. it seems all right to me.
No, they're working fine now.
Yeah, we call that the Kerberos maneuver. It's whenever each... Because we had some of the guys from Kerberos on, and they were talking about whenever they were trying to code the docking for some of the ships in Cataclysm, Homeworld Cataclysm. They said one of the programmers actually like gave himself an eye infection from like rubbing his eyes so hard in frustration. Yeah, because they changed the geometry on the ships, and then everything just went to hell. So.
Oh yeah, man. Game development is pretty intense. I remember a long time ago when we first started shooting like our dev diary videos, like explaining like, you know, members of the team talking about the game. One of our team members really liked Monster. So being the entrepreneur that I am, I emailed Monster. I'm like, hey, one of our team members really likes Monster. If we show it off, can we get like a lifetime supply of Monster? Thinking like, you know, what's the worst? They took like 3 months to get back to me. And they're like, we're sorry. We only sponsor extreme sports. And I was thinking, you have never seen video game development. That would completely change your perspective.
Nice.
It's like we're going to light our computers on fire and then write this game. And
that's essentially exactly how you make a video game. You say a couple incantations, you light everything on fire, and by the end it might be playable.
Yeah, well, that's my coding problem. Anytime I try to code anything, like I'm even like working on a spreadsheet. It doesn't even have to be graphically complicated, but I end up with this like, why the fuck is that? You know, like what? You know, HTML is like the worst, right? Because then you're trying, and Brian knows this one. Because
that's the only one I understand.
Yeah, but it's like you have to do it like 5 different ways for different browsers and stuff because there's a standard. Okay. Wait, what? Yes, the HTML non-standard standard. Substandard, whatever. But, you know, it's just like you do something and you do like what makes logical sense and then you fire it up and it's like nothing at all like what you intended. And it's wow. And that's why I avoid compiled languages like the plague because I need to actually beat that F5 key like every line of code to make sure that it's actually doing what I wanted it to do. And I can write the same thing twice and get a different result. It's like magic.
We actually talk a lot about at Racketeer. We have an internal joke that anything that just works and cannot be explained is space magic.
That's it.
Also, Brian, I'm seeing that awesome little bug at the end of the game complete.
yeah, it's pretty hilarious actually.
We've had some really, really, since we're talking about things not working, we've had some delightful bugs in close order. I'm telling you, the minions, it's just, there's like, every minion is its own little subset of systems, and then it connects to like larger systems, and then those systems interact with other systems. So it's like, there's like 4,000 moving parts, and if one of them stops working, everything goes to hell. I remember the first time we got the scalp room implemented, for some reason it was colliding with the player rapidly and would cause you to spin uncontrollably.
Yeah, so I
don't get motion sickness, but that almost made me sick.
So in the code, are all the minions in an array, and then you have to iterate over that array and check each minion's whatever, or do you just process them as like a big collision blob?
We sort of have them set up in an array. It's one of those things where it's something like this kind of mechanic. We haven't seen it formally done in the way that we're doing it, so we kind of had to invent our own way of making it work.
Uh-huh.
And through lots of space magic and blood, sweat, and tears, we have finally figured it out. I think an array is how we do it exactly. One thing that may surprise you, I'm surprised it's taken me like almost 40 minutes to mention this, is I am actually not a programmer.
Neither am I, but I do it all the time. I'm not a real programmer, but I play one on TV.
Excellent. But no,
I'm not a real podcaster, but I podcast.
On TV?
You have podcasted on occasion.
Yep.
It's almost like YouTube.
But yeah, the interesting thing, I hate talking about this half the time because I feel like it's just getting attention. But I mean, it gets people interested. I can't write a line of code, and I am the head of Racketeer. Now, some people think like that. It gets people interested for one of two reasons. One, it's like, okay, this is going to be really interesting. I have to check it out. Or two, this is going to be an utter train wreck, and I want to be there to witness it. Well, so either way, it keeps you interested.
Are you like the minister of beatings, or what's the? It's like the beatings.
Oh no!
Morale improves.
Well, as I tell everyone on the team, no one works for me. We all work together. We have a really good team of very talented people, and it's a very interesting trade-off because, you know, I do more of like the – I handle everything business-related, marketing, finance, hiring, management, planning, every single thing related to the business, and that's all me. And while I do come up with the general, you know, guidelines and overall vision for what we're doing, it's all these wonderfully talented artists and programmers and composers and all these great people making it actually happen. And it's kind of interesting because they basically trust me to make us profitable while I in turn trust them to make the game and not have it break. I trust them to not break the game and they trust me not to break the business.
So how big is the team?
We have, let me think, we have 7 people right now. We have, so myself, 3 programmers, 2 artists, and a composer.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's pretty good.
I don't know if
you guys have, are you all remote from each other or is it actually like
that? Yes. Okay. Every single person is in a different state. We are all in the U.S.
Well, that's good because I hate to have to see my coworkers. Like, distance is great.
Man, that's terrible. Actually, funnily enough, I shelled out, basically, I took out a loan from the First National Bank of Mom because I'm dirt broke right now. And I got a couple of the team members down here for a week about 2 weeks ago. And like, we had never met in person before. So it was just so cool to have everyone in a room and like have all that synergy and creative focus going on. And we just knocked out so much work, like the new UI for the minion names and health bars, the selling back of minions, the binding of custom formations, that and the new black hole and so much more, a lot of which I can't tell you about yet. We did in 1 week and it was just phenomenal. Like, obviously we've done a lot of work over the 18 months or so that we've been working on this project at a distance, but to have everyone in a room working on it, man, we were like a week behind when they got there. We got like a month ahead by the time left. It was just insane. So much work.
How long have you guys been working on this game?
And
how
we've been working on it for a year and a half.
Okay. And it's still in alpha. So when are you expecting it to be done?
Our plan is to hit early access, hopefully next month. We hope to do early access next month, release our first hub world, and from there, we'll add in at least one more hub world for free, and that would hopefully bring us to full game status, and in the future, based on how people like the game, and if they're interested, we plan to add more content, hopefully for free, because I've always been a fan of games that add things for free, because it keeps you playing, and hey, it's free.
Yeah.
It's true.
So, is this, I assume this is first game for this team, right? But have people on the team made games before, or this is like a first for everybody?
Well, that is actually an excellent question. You hit me with all the good questions, and then Brian just keeps me emotionally happy, and we and then the other guys here. We've got a really good thing going here, guys. I'm so glad that I'm here.
It's kind of good cop, bad cop.
Kind of, yeah.
But to actually answer your question, it varies. Most people on the team, it's their first game. We have, let me think, a couple of people were modders as well. So technically no, but technically yes.
Hmm.
So whose
idea was it initially? Was it you woke up one morning and was like, I must assemble the Avengers and make a game?
Actually, no. Surprisingly enough, as I mentioned, we were working on a project in Unreal Engine 3 for a while. Whenever we switched away from that project, we switched over that project to Unity to see if we could make it any better, and we made much more progress, but it was outside our skill set range and didn't have enough resources, so we had to temporarily table it for a while. We're going to come back to that one day. That's our like real big game that's going to put Racketeer like really out there, as if Close Order won't, you know. But anyway, after we switched away from that project, we just kind of wandered for a while. We came up with some prototypes for some really, really interesting things. One that I really hope to go back to one day is a cooperative 4-player like 2.5D stealth game, which that seemed really cool. It was just in the prototype phase, but it looked very promising. And then one day out of the blue, one of our programmers that had been there for a while was like, hey, Nick, so I've got this idea. I've got this prototype that I made for a class in college. Why don't you check it out? And I was like, okay, you know, whatever. It's going to be interesting. So I boot up this demo. It's 2 colors. It's blue and gray, and it's a blue background with gray blocks.
So it's kind of like the Civil War.
Oh, man. It's very simple. You just get, you just get the hard-hitting questions, man.
Damn.
So yeah, basically, Civil War prototype the game. There are two colors, and you started out with one block, and it was just a couple instructions in the, like, top left of the screen, and it was like, press 1, 2, or 3 to spawn more minions, and I'm like, what? So you press a button, and these other little blocks spawned around you. And I was like, wait a second, this is really cool. And so you could spam up to like 30 blocks, and then you could move the blocks into other various shapes, like a pincer formation or a phalanx, like the Greek phalanx. And then whenever you moved, the bullets like would shoot in the way that the minions were arranged, and it was really pretty. And it just, from that moment, I sat there for about 20 minutes just making shapes with the bullets, and I just kept laughing to myself, and I was like,
so you gave me an idea. Here's your new game mode.
New game mode.
Space Tetris.
Let's do it.
Where you shoot, you have big colored boxes, and you shoot the colored boxes, and they break into Tetris shapes, and then you have to ram into them so that they stick around you, right? And then you, that's actually how you, like, assemble your giant shield, would be, no. I also have an idea for a space koala bear dating simulator, if we'd like to talk off the air.
Excuse me.
It's called Love and the Eucalyptus.
Living it up while they're going down.
Hey now, this is a kid's show.
Down under.
I'm just quoting the song.
But, wow. Yeah, it all came from that original prototype. And, you know, it was very interesting because that prototype was inspired by, have you guys played Mountain Blade Warband?
I tried.
Did you play the Napoleonic Wars expansion?
No,
I did, for 5 minutes, which is good.
I couldn't hit a stick from a horse with a sword, so I just stopped.
Is the mechanic in that game like in War of the Roses, where you have to kind of charge up a swing and then move the mouse, and that's the way the guy swings? Because I can't hit shit in War of the Roses.
Well, I've never actually played the main game, so I think that's how the main game works. But the Napoleonic Wars expansion, you know, has like your muskets and your 1812 like line battles and stuff like that. But I bring that up because there's a mode where you have like squad battles where you command like little groups of like 20 AI soldiers, and you can tell them like how closely, like how many rows you want them to stand in a formation. You can tell them if you want them to spread out or charge or like when to fire, like on your commander at will and things like that.
Oh, so you get like a mob of dudes around you, and then you run around.
Exactly. And you can tell them how you want them to assemble themselves, like hold fire, stand in a line, follow you, charge, all that good stuff. That's where we got the initial prototype for Close Order. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. The prototype of Close Order had no context. So it, for all I knew, it could have been imagined as an FPS with soldiers around you, but we just decided to take it in the direction of it's like a bullet hell game with, you know, ships around you. So yeah, it was just very interesting to boil it down to that pure essence from that original prototype. It could have been anything, but we took it in this direction.
That's cool.
No, I like it.
Are you going to have boss fights? Because you could have a boss that would also be a bunch of minions around something, and then you have to like whittle the minions off of it.
Ah, you've got a very good mind.
It's a good idea. I like that. Does this thing support a gamepad?
Actually, yes, it supports the 360 controller. It is not 100% complete yet, but if you have a controller, you can boot it up and play around. The only problem is don't touch the D-pad. It basically breaks everything.
Oh, okay. That's actually a feature. It's like a smart bomb, but for you.
It's like the red button. You want to screw yourself, just hit the old D-pad.
Well, I think right now the issue is that if you press the D-pad, it's tied to like changing the shape of the formation, but you can't actually get it back to the diamond shape. So basically you have to restart the demo if you do that. But other than that, like everything else works. You can hold left trigger to open up the shop window. You can open up the custom formation and to move things around. Should work. We made some changes recently, so there may be some bugs. But yeah, there is going to be gamepad support as well, so I'm glad you asked.
Because honestly,
well, I asked, sorry.
Yeah, when I first fired this up, it was like I was thinking like twin stick shooter, right? Like, you know, because you kind of, you slide the ship around, but you can turn as well, and it's almost like, well, the ship kind of has a little momentum in the direction it's going, but the facing doesn't really matter to the direction that you go. So it almost would be good as a twin stick kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I see where you're coming from. And you know, the interesting thing is we actually talk about things like that at Rackinter all the time. Like, every now and then we'll just be like, man, like, what if we kept it like 2D and we never brought it into 3D? Or like, what if we did something like a twin stick shooter? And like I said, it kind of goes back to that original idea that the concept was just in this pure essence, and it's just the way that we decided to take it. A lot of people, a common question we get is, why is it, you know, you can look around like a shooter, but you're on one plane in like two dimensions. That's just because we wanted to root it in a way that felt very simple and close to its arcade roots. Because, you know, at the core, I mean, our marketing line is, it's an arcade shooter with one simple goal: become a badass armada. And we felt that if we kept it to one plane, it didn't complicate things very, very too bad. Because we've had issues where just for an example, like, the game was never designed to be played on like more than one plane, but we've had issues where enemies would tumble into other planes and then reorient themselves, and it was hell.
Yeah.
It was not very fun. Like, everybody's like, yeah, like, I want to dive and roll and go into these other directions, and I'm like, no, yeah. You do not.
Well, it's like, you get games like Homeworld, right? And you have all that vertical space, but nobody uses it because it's, you know,
it's way too complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing with Close Order, is we want you to pick it up, figure out, like, okay, I get these parts, I spend the parts on minions, I can move the minions around, and that's it. Like, you play, and you have fun, you figure out the minions you like, you build the armadas you like, you save them, you build them, you just play it however you like, and that's what we really want, something you could pick up, find a really cool thing to do, and say, that's neat, and then keep playing or play something else. It's your choice.
Let's see. So how do I do the gamepad with this thing?
With the gamepad right now, you should just be able, left stick is move, right stick is aim or turn, and then left trigger is open your shot window. I think the back button is to open the custom formation editor as well.
Okay, let me see. I've got my thing.
It makes a lot of sense if you just start pushing buttons.
Oh, I see. There it goes. Okay, it wasn't working earlier.
Except for the D-pad.
If you want to not adjust your armada ever again until you restart the demo, don't touch the D-pad.
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and only recently has the game started to visually look very polished. Like, every time I see that black hole, I just have to take a step back and be like, man, we've come so very far from that original demo where it was two colors, two-dimensional, and just, like, blocks with dots that came out of them.
Okay. Ooh, it's... it actually feels a little better on the keyboard, I think. For me, at least. Weird. It's weird how that's... Because I love gamepad stuff, but, yeah, it feels like it wants to work better on a keyboard for me right now. I don't know why.
And we're still optimizing it as well. We'll have way more options in the full game, like sensitivity adjustment and stuff like that. I personally just prefer it on keyboard and mouse because, you know, what I've mentioned before is it plays very similarly to a shooter in terms of its control scheme. So yeah. You get that precision. You just, you know, now you don't really need precision because you just get a lot of ships and you shoot forward.
Right. Yeah, I think I did better with the gamepad. Oh, I mean with the keyboard. Oh, and look, I can just do that. I can just not even bother with the gamepad, even though it's plugged in. Okay, cool. I'm just going to go back to the mouse and keyboard right now. That's nice. I like that.
Yeah, you can actually swap pretty easily, and it doesn't break. It used to break pretty bad, but we fixed it, which is the art of game development. I'm watching you right now, and I cannot tell you how many people have asked if that little moon near the black hole is the Death Star.
It kind of looks like it.
It has one crater specifically that is, like, very similar to the Death Star, but it's not the Death Star, I promise. I don't want to get sued.
No, of course not. Not by Disney. Oh, so it feels like if you get near the outer edge, it, like, totally screws your steering. I don't know if that's something you know about, but, like, it seems like if you get far enough away, it's like, nope, can't turn that way anymore.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like you get locked into, like, a wall or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right now we just have an arbitrary level barrier. Again, this is Alpha, still work in progress.
Right.
Stuff. One thing you will quickly learn, as you've probably seen by now, is the enemies don't care anything about the laws of physics or the boundaries that we've imposed.
Right.
they just fly straight through the black hole. They don't care. They have some sort of technology that you don't have access to.
Those bastards. Yeah, they're aliens. They're weird. You know, that's all you need to know. They're aliens. They're strange. They can do things you can't. That's really all you need to know.
Ah, but are they aliens? You'll have to find out.
Oh, spoiler.
Well, remember, each hub world is going to have a theme.
Oh, that's true.
And actually, I can tell you right now, the theme of the first hub world is, well, this kind of answers your question about aliens. They're not aliens, plot twist. At least right here.
Why?
The theme of hub world one is old Earth. So basically this idea that, you know, in a spacefaring future where people didn't always grow up on Earth, how would they carry all these old ideas and ideologies and, like, biased mindsets and stories and all this stuff? How would they carry that forward into, like, a new reality in space where they're so far from Earth? Like, how would people behave? What would they do? Would they form new ideas? Would they cling to their old ones? That's kind of what we explore with the first hub world.
Oh, very neat.
So, yeah, I mean, you get your really, really badass gameplay, and then we have a pretty decently thought out story. So we have options for every type of gamer.
Because some people want a story, and some people just don't care.
And you know, the question I get asked a lot is, so how is this going to have a story? And everybody just kind of looks at me like, are you trying to sell me snake oil? Like, like, what's going on here? But we have a plan, and our company name literally means storyteller games. And
oh, really?
Yeah, raconteur is a French word for storyteller.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I was thinking racketeer for some reason.
You know, the amount of people that have called us racketeer games, it's kind of funny, because especially when I'm in, like, a professional setting, they're like, racketeer games. I'm like, oh, wow. Well, that's a great.
Yes, we're making a tennis simulation. It's
Because, you know, they're not making any virtual tennis anymore, I think. So someone's got to fill in that gap, right? I mean, you know, people want their tennis games. I actually love tennis games. I don't know why. I
figured it out.
Virtual tennis is so great.
It's been a lap ploy just to make this a tennis game.
Well, you know, I was thinking one of the minions that you could have would actually be like teddy bears. And then they, instead of shooting, they would give out hugs. But they would hug the enemy to death. Right? You just like ram into him and you hit the button and they just hug him. And little hearts pop out and explode.
The best part. The best part is we have the freedom to make all those crazy choices because of the way that we've structured our story. So with the idea of the first hub world of old Earth, it's kind of more human-like things. But we could easily have a hub world about aliens or about giant bears that hug you to death.
Yeah.
We intentionally built the game in a very modular way that allowed us to explore very different ideas for how to approach different things.
Can you have one about Russian bears with AKs? Because that'd be awesome.
Oh my god, and you could actually have like a fleet of unicorns that actually shoot rainbow lasers out of their horns. All this is possible.
Everything is possible and more. Close order!
2015. Have you guys been watching Kung Fury or something? And that's...
No.
And that's where you got that idea?
Every time I hear Kung Fury, I think of the glorious, like, $20 budget film, Kung Pao. Have you guys never seen Kung Pao?
I'm very familiar with the gopher chucks. So, the Kung Fu Cow was probably the best part of that whole movie.
I'm pretty sure the entire budget of that film went to the Kung Fu Cow.
Well, you know, when Nintendo came out with the Wii U, all I could think was the girl from Kung Pao. The wee, 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 wee. So, yeah.
I don't think I've seen Kung Pao.
Oh, my.
I know of it, though. I know of it.
Yeah, but no.
Basically, the idea was they took, like, two really old, like, Kung Fu movies from Hong Kong and edited them together, redubbed them with a couple new actors via really crappy green screen, and they dubbed over all the voices in English.
Brian, this is the movie for you. Like, the bad guys, like, you may call me Betty. He changes his name because he was, like, you know, Darth Evil or something. But he wants to be nicer, so he changes his name to Betty.
So is there a guy?
It's one of those things that's it's so bad that it's brilliant.
It's like Mystery Science Theater had a baby in a Kung Fu movie, and yes.
That reminds me of that Paul Simon song. When I call you Betty.
Yes. You can call me Al.
Yes.
Yeah. But have you seen Kung Fury, though? Because if not.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm our guest.
Oh.
Racketeer.
Nicholas. I have not seen Kung Fury.
Oh,
oh my God. It's on the internet.
It's on YouTube.
It's on the internet.
Seriously, it's on YouTube for free. You can watch. It's only like 32 minutes long.
They even broadcast it on cable television.
Wow.
They did?
I'm pretty sure it was on TV.
Wow. Okay,
Kung Fury is the most densely packed. It's like zip compressed 80. Just crammed. It's like they took all the VHS tapes in the world that were from Canon Pictures and crammed them into like one of those car compressors, right?
And so Looker and Runaway and all that crazy stuff. That was such a great movie.
It was a movie about a flashlight.
And, basically. Yeah. A flashlight gun. Yes, that's exactly what that movie was about.
It was time travel in reverse. It was only one person.
Wasn't that Albert Finney?
Yes.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So the plot of the movie.
I'm googling this film, and the characters I see so far are Hoff 9000, Thor, Hackerman, and Hitler.
Yes. Yep.
Hackerman.
Yep. Hackerman.
I feel like I have to watch this movie now. I don't know anything.
You gotta hack time, dude. Gotta hack time.
Go back and kill Kung Fuhrer.
The Kung Fuhrer.
But he sends him too far. So.
Okay. Don't spoil it for him. Okay. Don't spoil it for him. But it's amazing.
There's a music video for the theme song too. With Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Don't hassle the Hoff.
But you gotta watch. He actually said it.
I was like amazed.
Oh, he knows. He knows. He has.
How could he know?
He knows.
It's a well kept secret. Like nobody was supposed to tell him.
It's on fucking T-shirts and shit. Oh, I have a T-shirt that says that.
Don't hassle the Hoff.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a thing.
So,
it's totally
all right.
A thing.
So, Star Crash. Who here has not seen Star Crash?
I have not seen Star Crash.
Either.
Is that the one? That's the early one with David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
It's a Roger Corman one.
Right.
With Christopher,
he's got a lightsaber. He's fighting cavemen.
Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
I know
Plummer.
All about it.
Christopher.
Was it Plummer?
Yeah.
Oh, that's even better.
Oh God. And it's got Carolyn Monroe, the Bond girl from Spy Who Loved Me, Carolyn Monroe.
The girl who married Ringo. Yeah, absolutely.
No, different one. That's the other girl. No, this is the girl that flew the
helicopter. The other girl.
The hot one.
They were both hot. Come on.
Yeah, the hotter one. But she was also in the Hammer Dracula movies and stuff.
Really?
And, oh, yes. So that's your Christopher Lee connection right there. She was bitten by Christopher Lee. How lucky her. And, yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, Star Crash. It's basically Italian Star Wars.
Yeah.
And all you need to do is watch the trailer. It's got everything. It's got like.
I've seen the trailer.
It's got Amazon women. It's got freaking dinosaurs. It's got like a giant stop motion colossus like from Jason and the Argonauts.
There's another great movie, Amazon Women on the Moon.
Yes, or Amazon Women in the Avocado Jungle of Death.
Wait, what?
Amazon Women in the Avocado Jungle of Death.
Is that another? Is that like the sequel or something?
No, that's another movie. It's got Bill Maher in it. It's his crowning moment, and it's got what's her name from Attack of the Killer Tomatoes 2, the girl that played the Tomato Girl.
I don't know. I've only seen the first Attack. I didn't even know there was more than one Attack of the Killer today.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. They get
Nicholas, you didn't realize this is what you were going to get yourself into, is it?
We have tangents all the time. All the time.
Welcome to the Space Game Drinking Podcast.
We're going to talk about Mad Max Fury Road. So, Nicholas, have you seen Mad Max?
I have not, because I've been locked in this cave producing this wonderful little demo that you're playing today.
You gotta see it.
I humbly look forward to not being poor and being able to see it very soon.
Did you hear the news today about The Rock?
Huh?
Dwayne Johnson will be starring in
the
live action Rampage.
Oh yeah, Rampage. I know. So it's basically
only feelings on The Rock is that nearly a decade later, I am still offended that Dwayne The Rock Johnson was not in the hit film, The Rock.
That's true. But
wasn't he not an actor then? He was still like a wrestler?
I think he actually
I think
wrestler.
That is sort of acting.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's kind of like porn is acting, right? It's a different level. You don't get your SAG card
You know, it's basically The Rock in a kaiju movie, and I'm just stoked for that.
I'm wondering, stoked. Like, which one of them is he? Is he going to be the werewolf?
No, he's going to be the one that takes them all down. Come on. They're going to have the other three, and he's going to be the one that punches them all in the face.
It's not a Rampage movie, well, unless when they get defeated, they're, like, naked on the street, and then they, like, sidestep off the screen while holding their junk.
God, so. I hope that happens. I really hope that happens.
I remember when I've
learned so much on the Space Game Junkie podcast.
Oh,
this
my
has
gosh.
Truly been an enlightening
You're here
experience.
To entertain, my
See,
friend.
My, my,
you know, I really don't know what I should watch first, Kung Fury or Zardoz.
Well, Kung Fury you could just go watch tonight. It's
yeah,
half
Kung,
an hour long
Kung Fury, bring your friends. Make sure that you're sitting with other people when you watch this movie.
Like, I showed it to my girlfriend, and she was like, we watched it, she was like, I don't know about this. What do you mean? I don't understand. Then when we watched it, she was like, that was amazing. Oh, my God, that was incredible. You're getting the Blu-ray, right? I'm like, absolutely.
I feel like this is one of those movies that I'm going to enjoy so much and that I have to decide if I really want to put my significant other through watching it, which means that I'll find it really funny and she won't.
No, nobody can watch this movie and not think it's funny. Like,
there's something in there for
it's
everyone.
It's so ridiculous that you will enjoy it.
There's excellent. Something in there for everyone. Seriously.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's okay. The podcast that I did, it's now defunct. The website's been gone now.
Is
yeah.
Space Game Junkie Podcast?
No, before I did this one, for years, like started in 2009, I did this show called The Bad Movie Podcast.
I didn't know you were
And it was
doing
exactly that. Yeah, I haven't done that for a couple of years. But it's unfortunate. I hadn't paid any attention to it and the domain renewal, because I bought it for like 3 years, right? And then I wasn't looking, and the domain renewal fell in my spam bin, so I missed it, and somebody scarfed it. Whatever. You know, but, yeah. So, but I've still got all the episodes archived and whatnot. But
I would listen to that.
It was,
you just talk about, like, B-movies, or
was
just, like, really legitimately
It was
bad
entertaining.
It was like this going on right now. It would be like, we'd watch a movie, and then turn on the microphone and be like, what the hell did we just see? And try to describe it. Yeah, it was. But Star Crash was probably the most epic movie that we saw the entire time. And it was Carolyn Monroe in her character, Stella Star, in that movie. When we rated movies, it was on a scale of 1 to 5 Stella Stars. You could only get 5 if you had Carolyn Monroe in your movie. So, yeah, it was something. Another good movie it's called Chakma, and it is about Dungeons & Dragons live-action role-playing and a killer baboon that gets loose in the hospital that they're doing it in. It's kind of like a research lab. And then the kids decide, like, hey, it's Friday night. Let's LARP some D&D. And they're LARPing, and nobody realized that the killer baboon actually got released. They thought it was dead. And
so it's like Project X with Matthew Broderick, except nothing like that.
Right. Exactly not like that.
I feel like this has to be a subplot in Close Order now.
Killer baboon.
Gotta have a monkey in there somewhere. Everyone needs a good monkey.
Hey, man, there
everyone,
you go.
Everyone needs a good monkey.
Absolutely. So, do you guys have any more burning questions about Close Order? Or have I artfully dodged and said you were headed in the right direction at enough questions by this point?
I'm still playing. So I think I've just about asked everything I wanted to know about it. I mean, you've answered very poignantly. Anybody else have any questions? Or should we start talking about the Steam sale and what we wasted our money on?
No, actually, I was just going to say, like, for being a developer, you're probably one of the more
outgoing,
vigorous, and enthusiastic about your game than most.
Well, someone has to sell it.
I mean, not that we haven't had excited developers on before, but I'm just saying, like, your enthusiasm makes me want to buy the game when it comes out.
I appreciate you, man.
What kind of price point are we talking about? Do you know yet?
Extremely affordable. I know that Valve, in my understanding, works with you on the price to help you figure out, like, what the market would accept it at. We're looking at no more than, like, $10 for the full game.
Oh, that's good.
15 easy payments of $1.50.
Hey, man, there you go. If you write into the Space Junkie podcast right now, you will get a premium rate of $20 per copy, but it's signed by Brian Rubin.
Oh, I have the worst signature in the world. They wouldn't even know it was me. Seriously.
You just got to write space.
Just it's a bunch of squiggles. That's my signatures. I can never write my fucking name.
All right, so here it is. A bonus for everyone listening to the show. You get a free gift. If you go on YouTube and you search for Shakma, S-H-A-K-M-A, the whole movie is on YouTube. 1 hour, 41 minutes. You will never get back.
I do kind of love that when they put entire movies like that. Like, that's just past copyright or just no one cares anymore.
Yeah. You know, another great movie is Space Hunter, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
Yes.
Was that the one with Mark Hamill?
No. Mark Hamill's not in that one, but Molly Ringwald sure as shit is.
Space Hunter?
Yes, Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
Space me.
That's right. That's why we call him Space Hunter. It was because of this Molly Ringwald.
He hunts all the space.
Oh my gosh. It's okay. And then there was another movie that was filmed like at the same time on the same sets. And it was something, the destruction of Jared's, or it was Metal Zone, the destruction of Jared's sin.
What? And what was that really obscure one that had Carrie Fisher in it?
That was Time something. Yeah, I know exactly what you're, I own it.
Well, we've been talking for over an hour, so let's wrap it up with,
Time Guardian.
Was that the one with Mark Hamill?
No, that's the one with Carrie Fisher. Time Guardian. It's like the Terminator, but with Princess Leia.
No, there was one with Mark Hamill where he traveled in time. It was like time something. Hang on.
I don't know. He'll always be the guy who was not the Guyver in the Guyver.
Well, yes.
And then he was in Slipstream. Like... And
how'd you guys like that really obscure cameo in The Kingsman by Mark Hamill?
Oh, I loved it. I loved everything about that movie, though. Everything. There's nothing I didn't love about that movie.
Man, it's going to be really great when a million people buy Close Order and I can do things again. Like, see movies.
Oh, Mark Hamill was in SWAT Cats? I didn't know that.
Fucking what?
Yeah, he did.
Was he in Street Sharks, too?
I don't know about that. But yeah, he was in SWAT Cats. I didn't know that. He was Burke. What?
Well, he is a voice actor, too.
I know, so. But I didn't know he... I mean, I knew he was... Of course I knew that. I mean, Batman, come on. But, I mean, I didn't know he was in SWAT Cats. He's been in a ton of shit, but I love SWAT Cats. I didn't know he was in SWAT Cats. No, the movie I was thinking of is Time Hunter. Time Runner.
Time Runner.
Time
Runner with Ray Don Chong and John McLaren and lots of other people. Cliff Kosterman. So, yeah, that movie was absolutely terrible. And it's got Mark Hamill with the worst facial hair you could possibly imagine Mark Hamill. I'm putting a link in the chat.
Was he contractually obligated to have the beard as in Star Wars?
I don't know.
Can you talk about how Mark Hamill looked when he did the Christmas special? Because that is some crazy.
Well, he was super on drugs. And was that before or after the car accident?
Before.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the Christmas.
Mark Hamill tries so hard, but he just does not age very well.
Oh no, he no.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he just is the Joker. Like he just can't hide it anymore. He voiced the Joker for so long, and that's just what he's doing now.
True. Did you guys see him on the new Flash, where he played the same character he played on the original Flash, and it was amazing. What the fuck is that character's name? God, he's in Transformers Rescue Bots. Jesus fuck. Oh yeah, the Trickster. He played the Trickster in the original 1990 Flash series, and the new series he played the Trickster again. And he just was he totally cheesed it up. At one point he said, "I'm your father," to a character.
Wow.
And I was like worried that it was going to be horrible, but no, he fucking nailed it. He nailed it. So it's kind of worth seeing just for that episode. I mean, the whole series is great so far.
Yeah. Oh, here's another bonus. If you dare, search on YouTube for Star Wars Holiday Special, the entire one hour, 29 minutes, and 28 seconds of paint.
Don't do it, people. No.
Dude, it's got mod.
That was the debut of Boba Fett as well.
It is.
Yeah. That was the only good part of that whole thing. That was the only good part. Wow, wait, Mark Hamill's in the Dragons cartoon? Wow.
Anyway.
He's in fucking everything. Holy shit.
He's like Nolan North.
He really is in everything. Oh my God. He's in all the Batman games. He's in lots of TV shows. Jeez, I had no idea he was. I mean, I knew he was prolific, but I didn't know he was this prolific. Oh my God. Criminal Minds? What the fuck hasn't he been on? Oh my God.
He's stealthy. Like, you don't
know.
The
Space Game Junkie podcast.
He has not. And we are going to correct that.
You know what? He was in three Wing Commander games, so we do have precedent.
We have context. That's right. Hey, wait. We can call Chris up and say, Chris, man, you got to get a smart.
Do you have Mark Hamill's contact information?
He probably does. He's got him on speed dial, just in case there's ever a Wing Commander 6.
We'd love to talk about your experiences with the last three Wing Commander games. as Colonel Chris.
I wish we could call up Christopher Walken and be like, Mr. Walken, we would like to talk to you about Privateer 2.
Let's get the whole cast of Privateer 2 on.
I know, right?
Clive Owen and John Hurt and Christopher Walken and Jürgen Prochnow now. Who the fuck else was in that game? There were so many fucking people.
David
in that
Warner.
Game. David Warner, yes, of course. God damn
it. Then I'd have to talk to him about Tron.
All these wonderful movies. God. And you know, you guys talk about all these movies you love so much, and I just hope that one day there's going to be like one person that's like, man, I played this game called Close Quarters, and it was just so cool. You know, I think that's what's
Well, then you have to get this kind of cast. Oh, I didn't even remember this. Brian Blessed was in it. I didn't remember Brian Blessed was in it. Amanda Pays, Mathilda May, remember her?
Yeah.
My God, lots of people were in this fucking game.
I'm actually going to have to head out now. So unless you guys have any other questions, it has been an absolute honor.
Oh, no. We wanted to talk real quick about what we all bought on the Steam sale. Did you want to stick around for that or you want to head out?
I could stick around like 5 more minutes, but then I'm going to head out then. It has been truly exciting to be here. I've learned so much. I've learned about Zardos. I've learned about Kung Fury. I've learned of all the things that Mark Hamill has done.
Yeah, well, we did. And it's been a pleasure playing your game, but go get some sleep. Don't worry about it. Go get some sleep.
Oh, okay. I appreciate it. I don't remember.
Like, the longer he's up, the loopier he gets, and the more fun he is.
That's
actually pretty accurate. My laugh also gets like 10 octaves higher. Whoever was saying earlier about the enthusiasm, I appreciate the comment. You know, I really try, and it's been a very long time coming. If you could have been there to see Close Order from its humble little blocky origins to where it is now, it's just grown into this really, really, really cool, fantastic beast, and I just can't wait for people to start buying it. And like I said, it'll be great if people buy it because I'll be able to pay bills. So that's always a good aspiration.
Yeah, folks, it is pretty fun. I've been really enjoying this very early. I mean, this is only one level. This is only one level here.
And this is just one small context-specific level. We have lots of great stuff coming. We are still on green light, so throw us your honest vote, whatever you feel. Just vote that way. And before you know it, we will be available for sale on Steam.
Which I hope that happens soon. Now, so you're on green light, but has green light been successful? I don't recall.
We haven't actually been greenlit yet. I imagine that's going to happen in the next couple weeks.
Great.
There's no clear metric of when you're going to get greenlit. It's just whenever Valve decides.
It seems so fucking random.
Honestly, if I can complain about that for like 2 minutes, and then
I'll actually leave. Go ahead.
but here's the problem. Like, Raconteur is a business-driven indie company, which you don't see very much of these days. We're not the only one, but there aren't that many. And here's the thing.
I'm sorry, what does that mean exactly?
So I'm building Raconteur from a business perspective. Like, most indie devs are just building their game because they think it's cool and, oh, I'll figure out how to make it a business later. Like, no, it's always our plan to sell our games and have a plan for the future. We have a clear roadmap for what we're doing, unlike a lot of developers. That doesn't mean we're better than other developers. It just means we're tackling it from a different perspective. Cause like I said, you know, I'm at the head and I'm not a coder. I have a business education, and that is how I see, you know, the world through that lens. And, when in business, we talk about metrics. you know your numbers, and you have a tangible number to get to, and you find out what your number is, and you do the magic formula to figure out how to get from point A to point B. But the problem with Greenlight is they don't tell you what point B is. They tell you that point A is submit on Greenlight and hope people like it, but they don't tell you what point B is. I was and it's a broken system. It really is, because it rewards overnight popularity because one YouTuber happened to pick up your game and stream it to a million people versus, you know, someone like us. Now, we've done really well on Greenlight so far, but, you know, for all the work and preparation and, like, all the things we've put into the business end that, like, you know, I can't show on Greenlight. You know, I can't – no one on Greenlight cares about my business plan. No one on Greenlight cares about, you know, us acquiring investment and capital and how we've managed our finances and done the marketing things that we've done. No one cares about that. It's just, you know, ADHD, yes, no, click, move on to the next thing. And I feel like that Valve, it was a good idea when they came up with Greenlight, but at this point I would honestly rather pay them like $500 to analyze my case instead of just leaving it to the public so that I can get a definitive answer really quickly.
Right. I mean, there's no analyst you can hire that's going to say, yes, do this and you will succeed on the green light. Although there are people that will come to you and say, I will make your green light work if you give me 10% of your money.
Oh, and you know, honestly, no, it's serious. I'm actually working with a company right now that helps a lot of indie devs do things like that. And, you know, I've probably dropped several $100 just to like get in front of, they're called Black Shell. They work with a lot of indie games, and they've some people are like, oh, they just spam things. No, they're really cool.
No, I like those guys. And in fact, they were really tied in with Overture.
Yes. I think they actually published Overture.
Yeah, they published Overture, and they also are the same guys that do indie games. Because I noticed like six different Twitter accounts that I follow that all tweet the same thing at the same time, so I kind of think it's the same guy. And it's all Black Shell. So
I'm working with Black Shell. Fantastic guys. If any indie devs are listening, I would highly recommend. And you know, I've dropped like several $100 out of our marketing budget to them. And you know, they've been great. They've gotten us results that we wanted. But here's the problem: I shouldn't have to pay a media company several $100 to get what I want from your company when you devise this as a free system, which is inherently broken.
Yeah.
The whole point is that
try Kickstarter
Greenlight
sometime.
Was. That's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, no, that's arguably worse. But with Greenlight, they wanted to make a system that couldn't be beaten. But the fact that a company like Black Shell can exist in order to get you greenlit defeats the entire purpose of making a system that can't be beaten. Because not to put them down, because they do fantastic work and I love working with them. But if I have to pay some company several $100 just to get on your platform when you built the entire service to not have to do that, it just seems counterintuitive, and it doesn't reward companies like ours that have put in the effort. And because, you know, how many games do you look at that have overnight success, they get greenlit, and they either release early access and then you're never heard from again, or they get greenlit and the team falls apart or anything like that.
So
you know, how many of those stories do you hear?
So here's a question then.
Yes.
Just appealing.
Now you've got
appealing,
me really.
Right. You're awake.
I've got my
again.
Ire going. I'm here.
So here's the deal. I have a game. I'm on Steam, right? I made it through Greenlight. That means that I don't have to go through Greenlight again to get more games of mine up, right? So does that mean that I can say, hey, let's make a deal. For 1% of your take, I will publish the game under my Steam ID for you. And then I just make a pittance off of that, but I gateway you in and you get to bypass Greenlight. Is that a thing?
You know, I haven't heard of anyone doing that, because you know, you have to agree that you have the rights and stuff to it, which technically you wouldn't. But I mean, that situation is certainly conceivable that it could happen.
Because it would be like a publisher, right? Like, oh, I'm EA, and I'm, you know, everybody just comes in under my banner, and pow, you're on Steam. And I'm wondering, like, why a small group couldn't do that. Just get one game through Greenlight, and then you gateway in all your other stuff.
See, I didn't actually know if it worked like that, or you actually have to greenlight all your other stuff. I think it might depend on your success.
Yeah,
or,
and they might have changed it too. So they definitely will after they hear this.
A lot in the past like 12 months, it's changed very dramatically. But like I was saying, you know, that really woke me up, because you know I'm all about, you know, having a plan for your business and planning what you want to do and having a roadmap and, you know, setting out the steps for how to get there. And Greenlight is completely counterintuitive to everything like that. It rewards the people who get lucky enough to get in front of a YouTuber who has like millions of subscribers. That's all it does. It doesn't reward anyone who's put in a hard work. Exactly. And it really is. And, you know, let me tell you right now, we are on day 23 of Greenlight, and you know, we are 56% of the way to the top 100. The closest conclusion I've gotten to what gets you greenlit is make it close or into the top 100.
You know what you guys could do is burn an effigy of Pootie Pie. just get a giant stuffed Pootie Pie, run it up a pole and light it on fucking fire, and then put it on
YouTube.
Honestly,
at this point, I feel like that would be the most effective advice I could give to anyone about to go on Greenlight. Just because there's no way to just figure out what's going to work. Now, I read every postmortem out there, I swear. I looked up so many guides on what to do. You know, I put in at least 2 weeks of prep work for this. You know, we got our demo running. We made sure we had a playable demo. We made sure that there were no placeholder assets really in the demo. We made sure everything was labeled alpha. We reached out to the press. We reached out to streamers. We did all this work, and it's just a popularity contest.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's what we hear, and that's kind of depressing.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I was saying, you know, it'd be really, really great to, you know, make income from my game, but, you know, I should just get really popular one night, and that should determine the fate of my company. You know, that's how it should work in a fair world,
absolutely.
Don't you think?
So, I'll tell you what, because it's late now and whatever, but ping me, like, tomorrow or whatever, or whenever you wake up from your coma, and and what I'll do, I'll actually do a screen share. I'll take you into the back end of Steam since you've never seen it and show you what's the deal. Like, once you get through Greenlight, this is what your
Hey, guys, talk about
like.
This off the air.
Yeah, because, oh, yeah, NDA. I'm not supposed to, whatever.
So. We're still on, guys.
Okay.
I don't know anything about this. Who is this guy? I'm just here with Brian.
Right.
Just careful, guys.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But no, it's a thing for your business curiosity, right? Like, what are your metrics once you get in? What does this look like? Because they give you a lot of metrics. And also, with your Greenlight, have you tied in your Google Analytics and stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. I've been poring over the data a lot recently. We have an insane average viewer duration, like almost 2 minutes, which is freaking insane for Greenlight.
That's pretty good.
Like, most is like 20 seconds or less. Ours is 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I got to dig in and see if there was any, like, a few, like, random people who sat there for, like, a day that, like, skewed the data.
Or you do it like one of those best Vine videos where you have, like, the girl with the giant breasts in the one frame that you use as, like, the front frame of the movie. And then people have to sit there through the whole thing, like, to get to that part where it's like, where's the hot chick? Yeah, that's how it works on YouTube.
That's basically how you get greenlit.
Yeah, that's
more
it.
More or less.
Boobs. And it works on Twitch, too. Like, I've thought about, like, getting my man cleavage on there and getting a tip jar. And
I don't think that would work as well, Jim.
Probably not.
There you go, man. But, yeah, again, thank you guys for having me on. I mean, look, now you know next time when I'm getting tired, just ask me to complain about Greenlight, and, man, I'll wake up.
Oh, that's totally fine. So, folks, thank you so much for listening. Where can they find more information about your game? I mean, I'll link to your site and all that, but, like, where are you on Twitter and all that?
You can find us on Twitter. Our name is Raconteur Dev, D-E-V. So you can just type in Raconteur Games to Twitter, and we'll be the, like, first one that comes up. On Facebook, just facebook.com/raconteurgames. Our website is raconteurgames.com. Our game is Close Order. Shouldn't be too hard to find us since it's a pretty unique name. And Brian, for all the people that can't spell raconteur, or if I'm talking too fast, which I likely am, Brian will have lovely links for those things.
The lovely links. So
lovely links.
I want to run to hover.com and see.
My lovely lady links.
I want to see if the domain Rochambeau Games is available, because
probably taken years ago.
Yeah,
it's probably a copy of Zombo.com or some stupid
bullshit.
Can
do anything at Zombo.com.
The universe is yours.
Anything at Zombo. All
you can do anything at Skyrim. You see that mountain?
You can run there. All right, so I think I think next week, folks, I think I just confirmed it. We Kickstarter launched today of a game called Defect, which is basically apparently a game where you build a ship that will eventually be taken from you by your mutinous crew. And I think we're gonna have them on next week, I think.
Hold off the mutiny as long as you can, or the game starts with the mutiny?
I'm not sure. I got a Steam key, but I haven't. Don't worry, I'll get one for you guys too. But I haven't tried it yet, so I will let you know. But yeah, I think we're gonna have them on next week. Oh, Wraith wants to know: did we get anything good during the Steam sale? So
I bought everything. Right, like if you were on Steam and it looked good, I probably bought it.
I didn't get any space games because I pretty much have them fucking all already.
There was a lot of shit I already owned that was on sale.
Yeah, I still didn't get a lot, but there was a lot of shit I already owned. Yeah, I got a lot.
What did I buy? I bought Grim Fandango Remastered.
Nice.
I had that on GOG. Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. I bought like a lot of old RTS games.
I picked up Grey Goo.
Oh, how is that?
I enjoy it. It's definitely a throwback to like the Command and Conquer days. So I'm really digging that.
The one I've been enjoying recently that I got is 20XX, which is basically if Mega Man was a roguelike, like mix Mega Man with Spelunky.
Wow, now I'm intrigued.
It's very good so far. I'm really enjoying it, like, a lot. I also got Convoy, but I returned it because it was just too hard.
Oh, I picked up Metal Gear Solid 5. I'm looking forward to playing that. It was all, like, $5, so I was like, sure.
Yeah, I got lots of, like, old RTSs and some roguelikes. Like, I got The Enchanted Cave 2 and
the Age of Wonders series was on sale too.
Did you get those?
I did.
Age of Wonders 3 is fantastic. What did you guys get in the chat room? Yeah, I got Space Beast Terror Fright, which I think we should play on Thursday.
Yep. That's Thursday. I hope it has evolved since the last time I played it though. It was pretty rough.
I played it a day or two ago and scared the fucking crap out of me. So hopefully.
Did you die in like 2 seconds? Because I've never.
I died in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's about how it goes.
That about explains how I did in Alien Isolation before I never played it.
It's very similar to that. It's a very Alien style game.
I love Alien Isolation. It's great.
Look, before I go, I will add this. Alien Isolation, I don't know how I got a fourth of the way through the game. That in and of itself is an achievement of mankind because I can't play horror games because I'm an absolute wimp. I had nightmares from Alien Isolation. I've never had a nightmare. I've had like one nightmare in my life just because that game was so. It gets in your head because you're walking around, you're like, clunk, clunk, clunk. It's like skulking you in the vents, and like all of a sudden, bleh, it's right there. Like,
the collector
that got me a lot was the androids.
The collector's edition of Alien Isolation should come with like some kind of plastic underwear, right? That it's like easy to rinse out underwear. And
my most vivid memory of Alien Isolation before I decided to never play it again was when my one time I was like probably like 4 hours into the game where I was just at a point where the alien just kept walking by and walking by and walking by and I just couldn't get rid of it, and I finally thought that I got rid of it, and I turn a corner and it's in my face, like eating my face, and I screamed so much that I threw my controller across like the den into my like roommate's sleeping like area, and I woke him up and I was like, well, I am now officially a danger to other people when I play this game.
But the mistake is that you didn't have the camera running and you were live streaming when that happened, because that's how you get paid, right? Like, you have the tip jar.
Dude, I made a blanket for it. And
I live streamed a little bit of that one.
Yeah, that's one of the funniest things I've seen you do, Hunter. Hunter is like just shitting his pants, creeping around.
It's what you make of it, man. It's what you make of it. I'm going to head off now while I let you guys.
We're going to talk a little bit more, but Nicholas, thanks so much.
Bye, Nicholas.
For joining us.
Bye, guys. Bye, Brian. Bye, other not Brians.
Take it easy, man.
Wow.
That's how I'm referring to both of you guys from now on. I'm Brian.
I'm your co-host, Brian, and this is your other co-host, Not Brian, and your other co-host, the really Not Brian.
It'll be like that thing on was it Newhart? This is my brother Daryl. This is my other brother Daryl.
Sounds right. Thank you guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Night.
Bye.
Hi Keegan. You missed a lot. Keegan, in the chat, you missed a lot. I'm just saying, you missed everything. Now we're talking about the Steam sale. I didn't buy any space games. I bought a lot of RTS games, like old RTS games, like Cuban Missile Crisis and Desert Law and all these old like 1C.
I didn't know Cuban RTS Missile games. Crisis was actually an RTS game.
Yeah, there's two of them. There's Cuban Missile Crisis and Cuban Missile Crisis Ice Crusade. I'm not even kidding. So I got like, they were like 99 cents each. So I got a fucking bunch of them and I got, Cold War and, I got Ultimate Space Commando. I can't wait to try that. World of Conflict. Apparently that's excellent.
World of Conflict.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I love that. That's good. Yes.
Love that game.
I got all the Guild games, cause they were on a bundle for like $3.
I picked those up as well.
I got both Metro Redux games because they were super fucking
cheap. That was crazy how cheap those were. It was like $10.
I already had Metro. I might have had Last Light, but I'm like, these are like the premier versions. It's like $10 for both of them.
I love the Steam sale. Like, days later, I go back and look through my own activity, and then I'm like, oh shit, I forgot I bought that.
Yeah,
I'm doing that right now. Actually.
I know. I'm trying to set games aside and like a list. So I'm like, I need to play this because I just got it.
So I bought Far Cry 3 because I saw Hunter's got it and it's got multiplayer. I got
Far Cry 3 multiplayer was not good. You should have asked me about that.
Far Cry 3 single player isn't good either.
No, I like it single player.
Yeah. Single player is all right, especially the Blood Dragon like stuff that you can play too. But I was just gonna say the multiplayer wasn't that great.
Oh, okay. So
I was gonna say, you know, let me just say, it's kind of funny how I got Death Trap, which is apparently a fleshed out game of the tower defense mode in the Van Helsing games. And I also got Van Helsing 2. And then I read that if you finish Van Helsing 1, you could take your character over to Van Helsing 2.
Yes.
So this has actually gotten me to go back and
finish work on Van Helsing 1.
Yes.
I'll co-op so with it's kind you.
Of, it's kind of funny how a Steam sale now got me to play a Steam sale I bought, Steam sale game I bought in late 2013.
Yeah.
it's like a web of sale.
Yep.
Oh, I picked up Wolfenstein The Old Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good time. It's as good as the original. It's just a little shorter. But
I picked up Command & Conquer 3.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, I'll play. Yeah. Well, no, wait. I don't have 3. I have
All the Command & Conquerors. I own all of that shit.
Or no, Red Alert 3 is the one I don't have. But I have Command & Conquer 3, you know, the Tiberium whatever and Kane's Wrath.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those games. I like the aliens in it. Yay.
Oh,
yes.
Alex. No, Alex got X-Ray Birth. Oh, my God. Dude, get a refund.
It's better now. Like,
no, it isn't. No, it isn't. Okay, it's a slightly less runny pile of shit than the runny pile of shit it was when it first came out of the horse's ass.
Wow. If you have time, try playing it for an hour. Don't go over two. If you don't like it, then refund it.
No, don't even waste your time. Don't even waste.
He might like it.
Then he's an idiot.
He can't be our friend anymore. That's it. That's
okay.
Wow. So I picked up.
No, I played. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I picked up Lost Planet 2. Which didn't go on sale, but I bought it full price because
I did that with a couple games. I did that with like two games.
So the thing with Lost Planet 2 is it's got like 4-player co-op through the campaign. So I figured,
is that local or online?
It's online. Oh, it uses the Despicable Games for Windows Live, but I got it working, so not so bad.
What?
Yeah.
What? Oh.
But it's okay. I got it working. So yeah. Let's see. I got. I was this close to buying Stonehearth, but I didn't do it because it didn't go on sale enough, but I'm waiting.
That's good. I actually kickstarted that one. I've been playing the alphas here and there. Yeah. That's going to be fantastic.
Oh, cool. Let's see. So I got Verde Station, which I gave a copy to each of you guys.
What have you played?
It's a did you see the movie Moon, where dude's like alone on the space station?
Oh, I love that fucking movie.
Yeah, that's kind of what this is like. You're alone on the space station. You're like the caretaker, and you have to go around and do things. So it's sort of a puzzle, walking adventure thing. Yeah. But there's thus far I've put a couple hours in, and there's no like monsters or anything that jumps out at you or whatever. It's kind of like just trying to figure out what the hell you're supposed to do, kind of deal, right? Reminds me of the old Infocom adventure games, except with graphics and no Babel fish that you stick in your ear. Let's see. So I got Resident Evil 4, Maze Mata, which is one of those like survival crafting games. I had a frickin' binge, right? Like
we both did.
Yeah, because it's like we picked up Ark, and it was like, oh my god, Ark is so good. I must get other games like this.
I didn't get that because that was barely a sale. What was it, 15% off or some shit?
A dollar.
It was on sale before the sales actually happened.
Yeah.
It was down to like 19 bucks at one point, I think. But it's, oh god, so worth it. Dude,
I'll get it eventually. I'll get it eventually. I don't feel a rush to get it because it's $30 and it's
justified $30 though. So you start out as a naked caveman on the beach. When you finish the game, you're wearing frickin' powered armor, shooting laser cannons and fighting giant boss spider monsters.
All while riding on the backs of Tyrannosaurus Rex.
That's correct.
And you could set up private servers so it's just the three of us, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Because I have a non-existent asshole tolerance.
Well, the server that we've been playing on has been pretty...
Yeah, those guys are super nice. It's Panda Army from Reddit. And
Holy shit. 44,000 people are 45,000 people are playing that game.
It was
right
one of the most sold games during the Steam sales.
And it wasn't even on sale.
when we started playing it, Jim and I were looking for a server to find, and almost every server was maxed out. Like we couldn't it took us a while to find one to play.
It's 70 players max on a server, and you look down the list and it's like 70 of 70 for like two pages. And it's like, my God. And then we found these other guys, they don't have an official server. It's their own. And then there's only like 10 people that are on there. But it's great because these guys are super helpful and nice. And, you know, you log in because it's a PvP game, right? It's one of those. But there's stuff to do that's not PvP. So many of those games make the mistake of, oh, I'm in the world, you know, it'll be like DayZ or whatever, right? And it's a human asshole simulator. It's like, oh, I'm in here, I'm naked, whatever. And, I found a pair of shoes, and then somebody shot me and took my shoes, right? Because this other guy has, like, an assault rifle and a tactical vest and shit, and he just runs around mugging people, right? So those games aren't fun to me because I don't feel like trying to compete against people that are, like, way better equipped than me, just scrambling, trying to... Can I just find a soup can somewhere, you know, before the zombies eat me? I'm not so into that. This game, however, they didn't make the crafting obnoxious. It's actually interesting. It's fun. We also got Savage Land, which is, imagine Skyrim multiplayer adversarial. And
yeah, I did see that one.
Yeah,
too.
It's interesting. My wife likes that a lot more than Ark, but I don't know. We're just really digging Ark, so.
Well, it's on my wish list.
Yeah.
So
Age of Wonders 3 got really cheap. It was down.
Yeah.
$9.
That one is worth owning. That is a fantastic game.
Yeah. Let's see. I got Grid Autosport, the whole season pass.
You'll have to tell me how that is.
It's super great.
Oh really?
Yeah. It's have you ever played on the Xbox like the Forza games? It's Forza, basically.
Oh.
Yeah. Let's see. There's this Earth Defense Force. You may have heard of it. we tried to play last Thursday. We need to give that another chance though, because everybody had shitty internet. Dude, that night Hunter's internet died, and then the next night mine died. So it was just like bad internet all week.
But yeah, this week we should play that Space Beast.
Yes, absolutely.
because that game, I've only played it like twice, and it's scared the fuck out of me. I was like closing doors every time I ran through one. Like,
I did have one refund in the Steam sale.
So did I. What was yours?
Starlight Tactics.
Oh, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? I would have told you not to buy that.
Yeah, well, you know what killed me, right, is, like, you know, we had the guy on last week that did the other game, right, Starhammer, and I was like, that's right. Pretty cool, and this thing kind of looks like that, but you get to actually aim the turrets and stuff.
No.
But what I found on mine is, like, whenever you shoot, it's supposed to follow the bullets and show you where they hit. My camera would actually just fly off in some random direction, and I would never get to see what I hit. And it was just like, God, no, fuck
this. You want to hear the funniest thing about that game? When it first came out, if you had to buy a new ship or repair one, they did it in real time. But there weren't, like, microtransactions or anything. So, like, if you wanted faster, you know, there weren't any of that. But if you wanted to repair your ship, you had to wait 2 hours. I'm not even fucking kidding you. They fixed like that the second day because people like
lost their shit. The Starlight guys just can't make a good game. They're cursed. They need to quit. Just
like Starlight Inception was, I couldn't get through like two missions. I couldn't even.
So I also got some helicopter games. I picked up Fair Strike. I picked up Comanche 4. Have you played Comanche 4?
Oh, Comanche 4 is great.
Fair Strike is the Russian Comanche 4.
Oh, really?
Basically, yeah.
On my wish list that goes.
So let's see. I got Super Win the Game because it finally got cheap.
Super Win?
Super Win the Game. Yeah, it's an arcade game remake thing. It almost plays kind of like Zelda 2 and Mario mixed together. I picked up Planet Explorers finally,
which is
interesting. I think that's kind of it's another one of those like open world survival, you know, don't get eaten by the dinosaurs games, but it's space dinosaurs, so it's better. I picked up Unepic, which is a great side scrolling dungeon roguelike thing.
Yeah, I need to play that one.
It's multiplayer. We should totally get it on. Yep.
Yeah.
Grim Dawn finally got cheap enough that I would buy it.
I hear that's really good.
It's really good. It's like if Diablo was Fallout.
Nice.
Yeah. Survivor Squad, Camera Obscura, which is a weird thing. I think everybody I know bought Imperial Glory because it was like 13 cents one day or something.
Yeah, I was able to sell cards and actually get the money to buy that.
What?
Yeah. So let's see.
I have 62 cents in my like Steam store.
And I bought everybody a copy of How to Survive, which we need to play. Because that's why
I already had that one.
Well, I got it for Hunter and for Joan and some other people.
Okay.
Because it got down to like a buck. And it was for like the fully loaded all DLC version for like $1.50. So it's just like everybody I like got a copy of that.
Oh, I didn't buy Imperial Glory because I already have it on GOG. That's why I didn't buy it.
And
I ended up picking up the Repopulation and Sirius Online.
Oh, you did get Repopulation?
Yeah, I went ahead and got it.
What's Repopulation?
It's like Ultima Online meets Star Wars Galaxies.
Yeah, it's different, but it's a
hardcore MMO, really.
Yeah, ooh. but it's really alpha right now and kind of clunky. So, but you know, like all the problems that Star Wars Galaxies had about weird UI and stuff, this is better, but it still reminds me a lot of that. So, yeah. And the monsters are just freaking brain dead. It's like they'll just stand there and turn in a circle and let you shoot them. And I got Gal Civ 3 because, you know, Gal Civ 3.
Yeah.
So that's,
It's all right. So I'm glad. I gotta say, I'm glad none of you bought Galactic Inheritors. I'm sorry, but
I did.
I
did. Yes.
Did you get a refund on it?
I have not yet. No.
You should. Thanks. You should. Yeah.
Let me see how much playtime I have in it. It's like you should.
Yeah.
I loaded it up and I was like, wow, the interface is like super sparse and it.
Yeah. Looks... No, that's the whole game. That's the whole. Game.
Yeah, the one thing that I found, they did a bunch of inconvenient things, right? Like they pop up all these UI windows, but you can't easily close them. You have to look for that little X up there. Yep. And if you could just right-click them and dismiss them, then I would have probably stuck to the game a little longer. Mm-hmm. But that UI is not good.
And neither is – the gameplay doesn't really explain a lot. The game doesn't help you a lot. Like, my favorite part is in my last entry for my Let's Play, when you look at, like, how – you can see all the five races and how they're honor each other, and you just hover over a race. Everyone's friendly. Like, really, this whole time? And then all of a sudden, each two races declare war on two other races. And it's like, what? And it still says, when you hover over them, friendly, like, wait. Why are they at war if they're friend? What? I don't understand why they're at war. No, why? And you can't see, like, you can have media campaigns with other people, but you can't see the media campaigns that they're doing with each other. Like, you get kind of notifications, but that doesn't really help because they go away after every turn. So you can't, like, study what the other players are doing. Mm. And so when I ran out of space to explore and expand, it's like, okay. Maybe I'll have options to peacefully take over. Nope. I mean, you could tell they want you to do war when you look at the last tier of the research tree, and 6 out of 7 options are for improved starships, military ships.
Yeah.
It's like, oh
yeah, I did pay $17.99 for this thing.
Mm. Yeah, if it's been within 2 weeks.
Yeah, refund, today is the 14th day, in fact. So I'm going to do it like right now.
Put that in right now.
Yep, right now.
I hate being negative about a space game. I try and be positive, but Avalon is such a shame. Just such a fucking shame, really. I was very depressed. Like, why can't someone make a good 4X? People keep making these fucking mediocre or bad 4X games. Like, there's, like, so few good ones.
Yep. All right.
Stop trying to make...
The refund request is in. So, see, that's a nice thing with Steam, because you can't, as a developer, afford to release a piece of stink. And then, you know, because people can try it and just be like, oh, God, no, and eject. Yeah. So this will be. I'm not abusing the thing, but it is my third refund.
I'm sure there are going to be some people that abuse it.
Yeah, but you know, the interesting thing was that Valve came right out and said, we do not consider it abuse if within 14 days the game goes on sale, so you get a refund and then rebuy it.
Yeah,
I thought that was very interesting.
I do like that. I do like.
Oh,
that.
It's just completely unexpected. I would have never thought that they'd allow that. But okay.
Yeah, that was really nice and very out of the blue. And it takes a few days. It takes some time for the money to get back into your account.
Yeah, I had them just like drop it in my Steam wallet.
Yeah, it took 4 days for me to get the money back in there.
Yeah, which was a bummer because I did the one refund like on the last day of the Steam sale, and it was like, oh, I don't get to.
That's pretty much what I did. Yeah. That's pretty much what I did. I played Convoy for like 20 minutes. I'm like, I'm hating my life right now.
You didn't like Convoy?
It was I did
because it's like maybe it's FTL with trucks.
I'm not a huge fan of FTL either, and nothing against FTL, just gives me a huge anxiety attack. And so Convoy was kind of similar, but I just kept losing way too fast. I don't know if that's me or what. So I'm like, this isn't fun.
You know, the other thing that's really whack this week that just it blows my mind is Evolve. Mm. Okay, because there was a lot of people that
Oh my god.
What happened?
Okay, you know how some games come out, and then they have DLC, and then they'll have a season pass, right? And you buy the season pass, and you get all the DLC that's going to come out the rest of the year, right?
Sure.
Okay,
sure, yeah.
So now they said, okay, well, that's it for that season pass. Now we're going to start a second season pass. The game's only been out, what, like 2 months?
Oh, something I see like that. I see that on Steam
right
there.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, yeah, another $25, whatever.
Yeah. For what?
More skins for hunters, and there might be like one new monster and maybe one more playable character or something. But it's just like, I don't know. See, that is a game very much like, that Wings of Icarus that we were playing last night, which we had a freaking blast playing.
Oh, Guns of Icarus? Oh my God, that was awesome.
Yeah. Really? So fun. Do you own it? Cause you totally need to jump in.
Let me check. I think I do.
You'd actually like it. We had, there was five of us. There was three of us on one airship and then two of us on the other.
I do own it.
And we pretty much went and wrecked face.
Yes, we did.
Despite not having, like, you know, a full team of friends.
No, I do have it.
Cool. Yeah.
One of these game nights we'll do it.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Because it's a damn good time. But the thing is, you got to be on TeamSpeak because, well, I guess there is in-game voice comms in there, but...
Oh, no, but use TeamSpeak or something else, yeah.
But it's like when you try to play it alone and you get on, like, a ship full of knuckleheads, it's the most frustrating game. But when you're working with people that you can talk to and aren't asshats, then the game is hella fun because you can really tear some stuff up. And it was like I was actually steering the boat, and then Dan was running around and, like, repairing shit and, you know, firing whichever guns. But I would tell him ahead of time, you know, he's down, like, in the below, right, like, banging a wrench on the engine trying to keep us in the air. And I'm like, okay, it's like they're coming up on the port side, right? So he'd run over to the port Gatling gun, like, just in time, and then, like you know, rip them up as we broadsided them. And yeah, it was great. In fact, we were playing, they had like a full crew, and we were playing just me and Dan, and we were just killing the shit out of them. So, yeah, and then Hunter and his crowd, who was flying your boat?
It was me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why you were winning then. Your superior captainness. And yeah,
the other two guys were good at doing what they were doing. It was just I'd already played the game before, so I had a lot of captain skills. So I just was like, I'll fly this shit, you guys. And we were, you know, pulling Kirk maneuvers, you know, thinking in two dimensional terms, you know,
because there's a lot of clouds, right? So you drop down in the clouds and then let them sail over you and rotate 180 and just come up behind them and just rip the ass right off their ship. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
So, yeah, it was a damn good time.
I do have it, and it is installed, so maybe we'll play that. Hunter, when are you moving?
I leave the 24th of next month, so not too long from now.
How's the packing going?
It's going all right. We got things set up. We've procured housing in Charlotte, so that's good.
Oh, good.
Still looking for job, work, stuff like that. But yeah, we're doing good.
Awesome. All right, we probably should wrap it up there. We've been talking for over 2 hours, or almost 2 hours. So, folks, I hope you enjoyed this kind of two-parter podcast. First part talking about Close Order, which looks like a really fun game based on this alpha we've been playing. And then we talked about, like, the Steam sale and stuff. So Thursday we're going to be playing Space Beast Terror Fright.
Is that what it's called? Oh, yes.
And then starting next week, we're going to try doing maybe for at least a month or so while I have Wednesday nights free. We're going to do some streaming Elite Dangerous, which means you guys have to join Arissa's team or else we're not playing. Because I'm not leaving. I love my power so far, and so I'm not leaving.
Yeah,
so,
I found the game for you, Brian.
What's that?
I just put it in the chat. It's called Space Corn, and it just came
out. I just saw that. It's not even a space game. It's like a text adventure thing.
Yeah, I know, but it's a unicorn text adventure, and it's a black background with bright pink text. Boy, that's going to be tolerable for minutes.
going back to Elite for a second, I did my first interdiction tonight.
Oh, nice.
I went to a rival power, and I interdicted one of his transports and blew that shit up. Was it
another human or it was a?
No, yeah, this is in the private group. But the thing is to undermine a power in one of their control systems, you fly to their system and interdict their transports and destroy them.
Oh, that's nice.
So they lose crew and they lose materials and stuff like that. So yeah, it's great. And I got interdicted like twice by other AI players of them going, we don't want your account here and shit like that.
Oh, I love it when they interdict me because that means I'm going to get to kill somebody.
It's great. I'm actually loving power play.
Just pop out the guns. It's like it's time to rock.
I'm actually loving power play. I'm not even kidding because now that I kind of get that it's like kind of an adventure pointer here. Like, okay, you can either help these systems by fighting against corrupt system patrols, or you can go to another power and undermine their system by shooting down their transports, and you get lots of, not a lot of money eventually, but a lot of clout.
Yeah, a lot of standing. And that gets you but you can get freaking rich, man, if you get up into the upper ranks, depending on how much stuff you do, because you get paid. Yeah. You can make like, I think paid. It's $50 million a week if you're in the top tier.
Yeah, something like that. It's ridiculous.
That's a lot of dollars.
And so I'm now that it's kind of clicked with me, because I'm like, what is this power play? I don't know about this. But now that it's kind of clicked with me, I'm really digging it. So you guys really need to join the winning team and come over to Lavigne Duval, or we might have problems. I mean, which power are you guys with now?
I went down to the guy that looks like what the hell is his name? Ron Perlman.
Oh, really? That's the one I'm. That's the guy I'm undermining.
Yeah, so he's got like the spider on his face.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the guy I'm undermining. So we're technically enemies right now.
Well, I flew down there just to see what was up because I figured it's got to be a hive of scum and villainy, and it is. So even the people in your own faction will interdict and murder you. So it's just like this is the place for griefers and just everybody that likes to just murder people. So I need to get the hell out of there. Yeah. Oh, they need to die.
They're terrible. They're terrible. They totally need to be undermined. So that's why I'm happily destroying their. You should defect over to because you can do that from the power thing. Mm-hmm. You can totally defect over to Lavigne Duval, and you'll be much happier because it's better over here. You get more money for bounties, for example. Some kind of dual railgun you have get access to or some such nonsense. It's pretty great. Delane, that's his name. Oh. Delane. Yeah, that asshat. So, yeah, I flew down specifically to undermine him.
Well, the only reason I joined his faction was in the hopes that I would be immune to being murdered by the pirates because I'm a pirate. Well, apparently there's no honor among thieves.
No.
So.
No. But there's honor among the Empire. So come to the Empire, my friend, and defect over to Lavigne Duval. Hunter, which power are you with?
Whatever one that Jim was with originally. I haven't switched. It's the...
Winners.
Winners person.
Yeah. Federation? Come on.
Ah, she's all right. Felicia Winners. She's pretty hot for like 90 years old.
I guess, but...
She looks like Lavigne Annie Lennox from the frickin' Eurythmics, which really turns me on.
I can't blame you on that one. I would walk on broken glass for Annie Lennox.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Duh! Sorry. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening and watching. We will see you next week, likely talking about the currently kickstarting game, Defect, I believe it's called. You can find me on Twitter at Space Game Junkie. Guys, what are you on Twitter? Just throw that out there.
I'm go ahead.
I'm Shitlord69.
No, you're not.
Unusual Pickle.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm Hunter Hacks. Hunter H4X.
H4X. All right. Thank you for and thank you, Elliot. Yes, I did have a lot of gumption attitude. I was making up words as I played Elite the other day.
By the way, if you want to, well, we have the Facebook group, right?
Okay. So we have a Space Game Junkie Facebook group, and it is just on fire, people. So head over there. Just look up Space Game Junkie. There's a page and a group. I encourage you to join both.
Yes, and if you join the Space Game Junkie Facebook group, then you can friend me up in there, and I will disseminate the information about the Elite thing because I'm not working tomorrow. You have some sort of function, so you can't be there. I don't know what Hunter's doing, but I will be in Elite tomorrow.
Date night with the wife.
Oh, I see. So
that's cute.
But 8 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, I will be in the Elite for probably 4 hours.
I played for like 8 or 9 the other day. It was so great.
Yeah, and I am Alien Pickle, Commander Alien Pickle. And if you friend me up, then we will fight the forces of injustice and Ron Perlman with a spider on his face.
That's right. No, you got to join Lavigne Duval because she hates corruption. She hates corruption. She wants everything out in the open. So Seriously.
I just
best faction. She's number one right now.
Well, who's the other girl? Arissa or something?
That's
her name?
No, it's Arissa Lavigne DeVal, and then she's like kind of illegitimate daughter.
Yeah, but she looks like Lin-Min-May from Robotech, which is kind of hot.
She's really hot. And then there's the blue hair. Then there's the blue hair DeVal. I forget her name.
They're like a bunch of one percenters.
But yeah, and so I'm working with the Lavigne DeVal, but there's another DeVal girl. She's got blue hair, so everyone calls her Blue Hair DeVal. I think we just lost Hunter. That's a good cue to head out.
All right.
But have a good night, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. All right.